All right, we have been meeting, I don't know, a couple, 3 months here without children's church, but next week we're going to have children's church. Lord willing. So we will do that. How about a potluck? Can we have a potluck too there? Come on. Come on. I'm looking at you, honey. Let's. Potluck next week. Bring your food. We're going to. Oh, we have to do it the third week. Can't do it the second. I'm anxious for a potluck. Potluck in 2 weeks. I'm overruled. It happens quite often. We're in 1 Peter chapter 5. We're working our way through Peter's two letters. Peter has become a deep thinking student disciple, now apostle, of Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Peter, he made one of the biggest transitions of any of the disciples, and Peter has become the scholar. All you have to do is read his two epistles. He's become the learned one. And it's evidenced because he writes his two letters in classic Greek. But even as a disciple, after the day of Pentecost, Peter stands up. He's the great evangelist. And the Jewish leaders can recognize that Peter has been with Jesus. What an awesome thing to say about someone, that they have been with Jesus. You couldn't give a greater compliment to any of the disciples than to say that they have been with Jesus. But Peter, he has been a man of change because he's been with Jesus, because of the Holy Spirit. But Peter, when he was a disciple, he had his faults and his failings, and he seemed to do them publicly. He denied Jesus 3 times. His rebuking of Jesus when Jesus spoke of his death and resurrection. And Jesus had to say to Peter, "Hey, Peter, hold up. Get behind me, Satan." What an address to Peter, that he was about Satan's causes. But even God the Father rebukes Peter on the Mount of Transfiguration. God appears in a cloud and he says, "This is my beloved son. Hear him, Peter." Listen to Jesus, Peter. But Peter, even after his failings, after his many episodes of foot in the mouth outburst, Jesus prays for Peter. And he says, "Peter, Satan has asked for you, but I've prayed for you." And Peter is then restored after his denial, after Jesus is resurrected. And Peter has become the example for any servant of Jesus to pattern himself after. And this couldn't be said of Peter in his early days. But Peter has matured, he's developed, he's allowed the Lord to work in his heart and life. So let's read the first 4 verses of chapter 5 of 1 Peter. "The elders who are among you, I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, not as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Peter identifies himself as a fellow elder. And Peter is an eminent apostle, but he calls himself an elder. But he is a witness of the sufferings that Christ partook in. And he also understands that he will be glorified by his sufferings. Peter has been an eyewitness. He was an eyewitness with Jesus when Jesus travailed in the Garden of Gethsemane, sweating, where Jesus sweated great drops of blood. Peter is there. He sees this. And when Jesus is arrested by the temple guards, Peter's the one that draws out a sword and hacks off Malchus's ear, right ear, Luke tells us. And Peter, without a doubt, witnessed the scourgings of Jesus and perhaps even witnessed the crucifixion, but he did this from afar. He wasn't up close. So Jesus saw the shame and the torture that Jesus went through. Peter, as we said a little earlier, was there when Jesus was transfigured with Moses and Elijah. He saw Jesus glorified. And Peter, he can proclaim, I saw with my own eyes, I saw Jesus suffer, and I saw him glorified. And then he says, so fellow elders, allow me to exhort you. Allow me to speak into your heart and life. Now, we do have a group of elders here at Calvary Chapel, and I don't want to embarrass any of them, but all of the elders here at Calvary Chapel are younger than me. But we still call them elders. These men serve the Lord, and they do it with a faithfulness, and they do it with a good heart. And they serve the Lord as overseers of you, the flock. So feel free to seek them out for prayer and for counsel. That's why we appoint elders. And these are good men to be an example over us. But elders are to serve willingly. But Peter, he adds a couple don't do's. He says, as an elder, here's some things you should not do. You're not to serve for dishonest gain. That covers a lot of things. Have you ever been approached by someone who's a Christian in business, and the first thing they do is hand you a business card with a fish on it? I shy away from that person. Why are you using your Christianity to try to get me to do business with you? My first thought, are you trustworthy? Why are you doing this? Why are you insisting that I know you're a Christian? As believers, we are to have a good reputation, an honest in business reputation. Too many TV ministers, they find ways to plead for money. Have you ever noticed that? It's hard for me to watch Christian TV. It really is. They live a life of opulence. They live, many of them, in gated communities. They're chauffeured from one church meeting to another meeting. Some of these TV preachers even own jet planes, private jet planes. And they will promise you literature that will come to you free for a donation of hundreds of dollars. Literature that actually costs few pennies, they'll offer that to you free for those large donations. That is dishonest gain. But an elder is to serve willingly. eagerly, not by compulsion. If I happen to ask some of you to serve in some kind of capacity, I will often also add, now, don't feel like you must, for I'm a big boy, I can handle no. I don't have any trouble with no. So if you don't want to serve, please do not serve. Don't feel pressure from me to serve. It's a privilege. It's an honor to serve our Lord. So, and I do my best not to ask anyone to serve in some way that I'm not willing to serve. And I only have one exception. I cannot lead in any musical way. Like singing, you won't see me do it. Some pastors will sing a benediction, the Lord bless thee. It's not going to happen. But I look for people to serve who are already serving. If you're already busy serving the Lord, you're the one I'll ask perhaps to serve in another work. I'm looking for worker bees. The Marthas, they have a purpose in the body of Christ. I'm glad for the Marthas. But a true servant, you're going to receive a crown of glory that does not fade away. A crown given by God, not by man. But let's look at verses 5 through 13, or 14. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another, and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. By Silvanus, our faithful brother, as I consider him, I have written to you briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God in which you stand. She who is in Babylon, elect together with you, greets you, and so does Mark, my son. Greet one another with a kiss of love. Peace to you all who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. The younger men and women here at Calvary Chapel are all younger servants than I am. I, far as I know, I'm the oldest person in this fellowship. Holding up pretty good, huh? Anyway. But this is a catch-all verse. We are to be submissive. We're to be submissive to one another in humility. Jesus, wanting to set an example for his disciples, washed their feet. That was the lowest of low servants' duty, was to wash feet. But Jesus asked the disciples, do you know what I've done for you? Do the same for one another. Humbly serve one another. And then Peter moves on and says, for our God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. That's one way to God's heart, is to humble yourself. Proverbs tells us God even hates a prideful look. Well, what is a prideful look? I'll demo. You want to see a prideful look? That's a prideful look. And we can all do it. We as parents can look at our children. And sometimes my mother had a thing. She'd snap her fingers, and you better pay attention when she snapped her fingers. You know, but she also had a look. But in our world today, we hear, you do not respect me. And we also hear how we're to have a good self-esteem of ourselves. Really? Where do you find that in Scripture? Where do you find that? I want you to really feel good about yourselves, no matter how you live or what you do, but I want you to feel good. You don't hear it. Peter is a man that is familiar with being humbled. And he says, humble yourselves. When Jesus calls for Peter's allegiance after his resurrection, two times Jesus asks, Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? And then Jesus gets down with Peter the third time and he says, okay, Peter, do you like me? He goes from agape to phileo, brotherly love. Do you even love me like a brother? But the same command came forth from Jesus all three times. Feed and tend my sheep. We cannot avow that we love Jesus without tending and feeding his sheep. Not even a brotherly love. And several years back, I was kind of taking an inventory of my life and how I was serving the Lord and what was I doing as a pastor. And I began to ask myself, well, why do I serve the Lord? Now, some people serve for the rewards of heaven. I don't. I really don't. Heaven is too ambiguous. I know it's going to be glorious and wonderful and all that, but I don't look to that. My mind can't wrap itself around heaven and being with Jesus and being glorified and all that. And so I had to confess my love of Jesus had shortcomings. I served my Lord because I knew it was the right thing to do, not out of a deep devotional type of love. But there's a verse where Jesus says, if you love me, obey me. And that verse came to my mind. So I began to pray that the Holy Spirit would change my motives and let me serve my Lord out of love. Love covers the gaps, my shortcomings as a person. We read in Corinthians that love never fails. And because God first loved me, the only response I can really give him is to love him in return. We all have a free will. And my free will, it watches out for me. Giving me an attitude of me first. Have you ever noticed that your concerns usually start with yourself? I long for the day when my first response to anything or any event around me is not, how does that affect me? But that's usually my first thought. How does this affect me? So one of my prayers, and it's a constant prayer, is, Lord, let me be about you and your kingdom. The world around us and Satan will try to distract us to the point of being useless to our Lord. First, he battles us not to become a Christian. Then he battles to keep us inactive. If you're too busy to serve God, if you're too tight, too stingy, let me put it in basic, to support God's kingdom, maybe the cares of this life are consuming you. So what do we hear Peter say? He says, be sober, be vigilant. Let me add to that, be in prayer. For we do have an enemy, we have an adversary, and it's the devil, and he is to be resisted. And Satan is real, and his mission is to devour us. He isn't out to give you a bad day. He's out to destroy you, to devour us. Now, we enjoy the protection of the Lord, but we're not to allow Satan to paralyze us into non-service for our Lord. And how does he paralyze us? Many times it's with a schedule that is too crowded, too busy to allow the Lord room for service. So we resist him by being a person of prayer. We're to wear, put on the sufferings of Christ as a badge of honor. Not to complain about them, but it's an honor to suffer for Christ. And we do suffer through trials, and we have fellow believers that also suffer through trials. But God the Holy Spirit has called us to eternal glory in Christ. We have a future that is wonderful. We will be glorified with Christ. And Christ, our Lord Jesus, desires to perfect us, establish us, strengthen us, and to settle our hearts and give us his peace. As a believer, we're on a journey. We have a mission. And suffering with our Lord is part of that mission. It's a hard thing to receive, so receive this if you can. We are allowed to suffer, just like our Lord did. And this whole passage ends with, when you greet one another with a holy kiss. Now, that was a custom of the day. So remember social distancing. Don't get all caught up in that, giving one another a holy kiss. Handshake will do. Give it the wing, whatever. But I'm just kidding. We're to prefer one another. We're told that. He says, prefer one another because we have too much in common not to prefer one another. So Peter ends his first letter with, greet each other warmly or with a holy kiss. So let me get you to stand. We'll close in prayer. Next week, we'll go to 2 Peter. Father God, may we look upon our suffering, our trials, not as a strange thing that has happened upon us, but you're guiding, you're directing all the affairs of our life. You're wanting to mature us. You're wanting us to taste and see the things that Jesus went through. You're wanting us to just identify with you, Lord. And so help us. Help us to see that the sufferings of this world are so temporary, and really most of them are so minuscule that they're not worth mentioning. But we're allowed to take on your character, Jesus. We're allowed to be separated unto you. The world doesn't understand us, but you, Lord, you suffered for our salvation. You suffered as our good shepherd. And Lord, you call us many times to suffer in many ways. And so when we look upon our sufferings, may they not be a strange thing to us, but it may be that badge of honor that we get to suffer like you did, Jesus. So help us. Equip us with the mind, with the heart, to just identify with you, Lord. You suffered, and it's an honor for us to suffer, even if it's in small trials. So help us, Lord. Be with us, and we pray and ask for this in Jesus' name. Amen.